Hello, and welcome to another edition of Bump and Run. This is Robin Vandenberg coming to you live from the Colorado Rocky Mountain High. Actually, I'm in Colorado Springs, not Denver, and I'm sort of close to the Rocky Mountains. But hey, we had a huge weekend. Well, actually, not in Bristol, but we had a really huge weekend in Mid-Ohio. We had a fantastic Xfinity race that we're going to be talking about. I'm so excited. Unfortunately, Tyler Jordan will not be with us tonight. He had to work late. You know, when you're going to work late, you can't do the show. So you guys just have me for a little bit till we have our guest, Salvatore Avino. I am so excited to talk to him. He is in the K&N Pro West Series. This guy does it all. He's like an actor, a model, a race car driver. I mean, you name it, this guy's done it. He also has done drag racing. I mean, it's super cool, super cool. Cannot wait to talk to him. He'll be on at 7:15. And then, of course, we have a question of the day that I posted on our Facebook page, and we're going to be going over some of the answers with you. I'm going to have Brandon Stevenson come on. He'll talk a little bit about Bowman Gray. And then after that, we're going to discuss, of course, these the question of the day, I'm going to tell you what it is right now, actually. The question of the day was, and this is because there was a break in NASCAR, so we wanted to give, you know, we couldn't really talk about a sprint cup race, so we had the Xfinity race to talk about, but I wanted to ask the question, when people say NASCAR needs to go back to its roots, what does that mean to you? I have a ton of answers to this, and we are definitely going to get into some of these answers. And I like some of the answers, and some of them are a little bit, controversial. But being that I'm from New England, I can sort of understand why they are a little controversial. So we will see. We shall see. It'll be quite interesting. For those of you who won on Saturday and didn't take the weekend off like the rest of the NASCAR sprint up guys, and you actually watched the Xfinity race, the Mid-Ohio Challenge, it was, I don't even know how to describe it. It was the first time I'd ever seen where the drivers actually used their tires for rain. There was windshield wipers going back and forth, but one windshield wiper. There was bites. I mean, it was crazy. And people, they were just, the thing that I thought was so funny about it was that it was like a bunch of old people. And I'm an old person. So I didn't do this. I am an old person. And I'm afraid to drive in the snow. Okay. I'm afraid to drive in the snow, even though I'm from New England, even though I'm a Boston girl, gone through the blizzards, been there, done that. I still get a little nervous. So it was almost like a bunch of people like me, all of a sudden hit this great big huge, you know, snow drift, and you're like, oh my gosh. And you went around and around and around, and it was rather amusing, but at the same time, you could tell they were doing absolutely everything they possibly could to stay on track. And I mean that literally, stay on track. It was fun. It was really fun to watch. Justin Ross, racing for Chip Ganassi, actually won. And what was really, really cool was for all of you who know anything about Brian Clausen, who recently passed, and we went through that last week. But when he did have his chance through Xfinity Series, he did run with Chip Ganassi. And so, of course, they all have Brian's decal on it. And Justin was very, very excited to be able to bring, to bring that car to Victory Lane. And it was sort of a pseudo Victory Lane. It was, because it was a road course, so they had it. And it was probably one of the very best Victory Lane speeches I've ever seen, because it was 100% from the heart. It was not all about sponsors. It wasn't all about, just the robotic sponsor crap that you hear, that we're so used to hearing. He was, he got choked up because his family wasn't there. It sounds like they just had a baby, and he was also, because of Brian. And right after that race, he was actually, taking a plane on over to the Knoxville Raceway for the Knoxville Nationals. So it was a really, really a cool way of honoring Brian. And I know I was rooting for him. It was looking like Bubba Wallace was going to actually win, but, you know, they were just these guys. I mean, you never knew during restarts what was going to happen. And turn four was really, really tricky in the rain. I mean, they had to literally, they're coming down, you know, coming down this hill, and they're having to break in the rain with all this water rushing down. It was, I know there were some people who were saying, this is a mess, this is crazy. I loved it. I actually loved it. It was fun. It was really, really fun to watch. And I think another reason why I liked it is there was no Brett Keselowski. There was no Kyle Busch. There was no Carl Edwards. There wasn't even a Dale Jr. There wasn't Kevin Harvick, you know, some of the guys that come on down to the Xfinity Series and try and race this. No, this was like all these guys, you know, that are fighting for a championship. They were in those cars, and they were just giving us an awesome, awesome show. Probably one of the best races I've seen all season, and I'm not kidding you. It probably was one of the best. I know a lot of drivers like, oh, my gosh, it was scary. But at the same time, a lot of them were really honest and said it was fun, that they loved it. And I know that Sam Harris Jr., he, you know, has practiced, you know, he has had a lot of practice, you know, driving in the rain, and so has Justin as well. So, you know, they had the experience in that. And so they had a little bit of an upper hand, but it was a very, very good race. I enjoyed it. I, you know, it's the first time in a long time I've enjoyed a race like that. So I was really, really excited. But I also wanted to tell you a little bit about a poll question that we had in read to an article that was posted on the Bump and Run. I'm going to go to that right now. Okay, it was on our Bump and Run group page, and there was an article out actually on Beyond the Flag, and the article is actually called NASCAR, Keeping Jeff Gordon in the Number 88 is Hurting HMS. Now, the reason why they're saying that is because, yeah, it's a really great storyline to have Jeff Gordon, the retired guy, jump in or whatever, but, you know, maybe they should put in somebody else, you know, a young guy, and see how he can do. And, you know, HMS doesn't seem to be doing as, you know, well as they normally do. So we decided to have the poll question. And sorry, the young gun won. They do believe that. Although there are people that are saying, you know, it's taking a step backwards having Jeff Gordon in there. And then some people are saying it might hurt, but it does sell tickets to have Jeff Gordon in there. I don't know. Who knows? All I know is I enjoy seeing Jeff Gordon going around, you know, in the 88. And, you know, it's, we know who he is. I mean, who exactly are they taking the, you know, who are they taking it away from? We don't even know how long Dale Jr. is going to be taking off. We know he's not going to be at Bristol this weekend. You know, is he going to race next weekend? That's what we're waiting for. I know he usually does his dream overview on Mondays. So hopefully that information will be coming soon, and we can give you breaking news on that as to whether or not he's going to go into the car at all this season. I don't know. If you look on his Twitter, you know, he seems to be talking about going out on dates with Amy and what that's like. So I don't know. We'll, hopefully we will see. We will see. So what happens there? Let me see. What else? So we have that going on, and other news that we've got going on. Before we get into, I know Sal's going to be calling in soon. I wanted to tell you some of the answers that we have been getting in regards to this question, which was, when people say NASCAR needs to go back to its roots, what that mean to you? And we have the answer saying, people stuck in 1970 without any imagination for the new era generation of sports fans racing. By the way, I'm from the old school, fan since late 60s, but I do enjoy the recent infusion to make the sport exciting, meaning he likes the chase and he loves the low downforce cars. And I have another answer. It says it means watching one car lap the entire field, single file restarts, and praying for a caution after 2 hours of green flag racing, because all the races are 500 miles long. Sounds like fun. Okay. But then we have others that are saying North Wilkesboro. They want to go back there. We want to go back to the short tracks. People want to race from sort of the finish. You know what I don't like? I don't like it where there is a caution. There's like, there'll be like 25 laps to go. There'll be a caution. And then by the time they clean it up and blah, 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 they get down to a green and white checkered. Sometimes I truly believe that they do that on purpose. I really do. Sometimes I truly believe they wait for these cars to drive around and around and around under the caution so that they can have that stupid green, white, checkered finish. And I don't like that. If you can give these guys, you know, five laps, it's, you know, say it's 20 laps to go, you should be able to get back and it's nothing but debris. You should be able to get back within 2 laps. You should be able to get back on that, you know, the green flag start. Definitely. Absolutely. Making it last over and over and over again, then red flag it. Absolutely 100% red flag it. I'm not for, you know, the, oh, 10 laps on yellow up. Oh, you know, look, green, white, flag, green, white checkered. Don't like it. Don't like it at all. So I don't know. We'll see. And for those of you who are wondering, why are you on Blog Talk Radio? Why aren't you on WBLZ? Well, we did have a little bit. We are going to be on WBLZ. They will be having this show all week long on WBLZ. But unfortunately, we were having some issues, and so we had to use Blog Talk, and we'll be back on WBLZ next week. In fact, they're asking us now to do 2 shows a week. So we're going to really think about that. We're getting really good ratings, so they want us to do two shows a week, and I guess that's something. Once the chase starts, maybe we can do it. You know, who knows? You know, maybe we can do two nights a week. It would be fun. It would definitely be fun. But let's get on over and see what happened with the Xfinity Series, where we went as far as the race results and the standings. We want to go to Xfinity, and you all know how much I love NASCAR.com. You know how much I love it. It is just so fun and so full of information and so user-friendly. That's sarcasm, by the way. Okay, of course, number one was Justin Marks, Sam Hornish Jr., Ryan Blaney, hit a really great run. Ty Dillon, Justin Allgaier, Eric Jones, Andy Lally, Brendan Gaughan, and Abe Elliott, Tyler Knight, Adam Poole came in 10th. Yay, Brennan. Love Brennan. He's a great friend of the show. Ryan Reed, 11th, 12th, Blake Cope, and Alan Day came in 13th, so that was pretty cool. Let's look, of course, at the standings. Let's see how we're doing here. Driver standings, here we are. We've got, and this is for Xfinity, remember people, the Xfinity Series. Elliott Sadler in first, Daniel Suarez second, Ty Dillon third, Eric Jones fourth, Justin Allgaier fifth, Brendan Gaughan sixth, Brennan Poole seventh, Brandon Jones eighth, Darrell Wallace Jr. ninth, Ryan Reed 10th, Ryan C. 11th, Blake Koch 12th, and Ross Chastain 13th, Dakota Armstrong 14th, and Jeremy Clemens is 15th. So that's where we are as far as Xfinity, and we are back to Bristol this weekend. One of my, I absolutely love Bristol. I love Bristol. I cannot explain to you how incredible it is to go to Bristol. And you walk on that track for the very first time, and you, as you're walking down, you're asking yourself, how in the hell do these cars stay on this track? Like, I mean, I know gravity and all that, but just, you know, I'm just thinking as a person, as I'm trying not to fall on my ass, I'm trying to figure how in the heck do these guys keep these cars on this track? It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy, especially at night. It is nuts. And the last time I was there was in 1998 with my friend Dale Earnhardt, and I actually met Dale Jr. for the very first time that year. Dale introduced us, and he was this super skinny young kid that people only really knew him because he was doing great in the Busch Series, and he didn't have the nation yet, and he was this shy kid, and pretty funny. He didn't have 20 million people going after him. Big difference between then and now. And I actually have a picture of it. It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. So I have it on my Facebook. If you guys ever want to see it, it's it cracks me up. So I don't know. I loved watching racing back then, and I think when it comes to old school, that's what I miss is. There's no real, not that I'm not saying that Dale Sr. was a bad guy, because he's not a bad guy. He was someone that you loved to hate. And it was, I just absolutely adored him. And, you know, he came in sixth that night. Mark Martin won. you know, but it was probably one of the best racing experiences I ever had. It was pretty great. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and hopefully we'll have Sal on the line. And I know that he just raced this past weekend. We'll see how he did. So we will be right back. Find the commercials here. You know, I'm in this new studio. Got to find everything. Here we go.
My name is Nick Ficcarelli. I am the mad scientist of sports. Join me and the nutty professor, Andrew Grunkoff, live every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mad Scientist Sports Lab. The tickets are lit. The experiments are on the short board, and the guest subjects will come rolling in. Mad Scientist Sports Lab, where mad science and sports meets together. Be there.
Tired of your coworker talking trash because he just laid the smackdown on your team?
Wondering why you always seem to be 2-4 after 6 games?
Wouldn't it be great if you had someone on your side to make sure you always made the right move?
Tired of getting the same advice from some idiot on the four-letter network that gave himself a nickname?
When you decide you're serious about winning, when you realize that maybe you can't do this alone, tune into Fantasy Jam. The Buffalo and the Fish will turn you into winners.
Right here on this network.
And we are back, and hopefully we'll be having Sam call in soon. Unfortunately, I had to give him a brand new number, and he's like, it's okay, no problem. You know, I'll call in. So if any of you want to call in, you can call in at 657-383-1442. Again, the number is 657-383-1442, and that is the number to dial in. If you're having any problems, just let me know. I'm on Twitter, so you can shoot me a tweet saying, hey, I'm having problems figuring out what's going on. Hopefully nothing. Hopefully everything's going well. And like I said, WBUZ is doing great. And so we're going to be, hopefully, we'll see what's happening. I do know this. We do have some big news, and that is for Richmond. Richmond, we will actually have Michelle. She is one of our pit reporters. She will be at Richmond, and she'll be going live on the WBOZ Facebook page, and she'll be giving us some reports live, and that's pretty damn cool. I know the last time that Tyler did it at Bowman Gray Stadium, they were so successful. So it'll probably be twice as successful as we see Michelle. She'll be hanging out with, oh my gosh, who only knows, you know, the Craftsman Truck Series guys, the Xfinity guys, the Sprint, you know, guys and girl, you know, there's still girls out there. So we'll see what happens there. Who knows? But it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I love Michelle. She is so cool. And she is the one that kind of gave that controversial, you know, answer. She gave that controversial answer, and I love her for it because, you know, radio, it can't be radio unless you have a little bit of controversy. So, I will read it once Salvatore gives us a call and we get out right after. We're going to have Brandon Stevenson calling up, and he's going to be giving us all the information that happened at Bowman Gray Stadium. I know his driver, Zach Clifton, won, and so he's excited about that. And we're excited for him. I know he's been working with that team for a while, and great, you know, a great win for them, and very excited for him. I know there was a huge crash in the Sportsman Series at Bowman Gray. It looked pretty bad, but everybody's safe. Everybody's fine. It's on the Bowman Gray racing thread. You'll see on Facebook there. So you definitely want to check that out. Let's see, what else have we got going on? oh, okay. Wrong information regards to a show. Oh no, we're having problems with Salvatore. It keeps trying to disconnect him. Oh God. I'm so sorry, Sal. I am so sorry. We are going to have to, what we'll do is we'll have him call in on Thursday. We'll redo the show on Thursday on WBLZ. And there shouldn't be a problem at all. So that's what we'll do then. So Sal, we'll have you back on Thursday if you're able to call in. So what we will do is we're going to go through these answers real quick. And, okay, So this is the question yet again. When people say NASCAR needs to go back to its roots, does that mean to you? And I already gave one answer. I'm going to give you another one. It means watching, this is what somebody said, it means watching one car lap in the entire field, single file restarts, and praying for a caution after 2 hours of green flag racing because all the race, oh, I already read that one. But, yeah. Okay. Another answer was, to me, that means when rubbing was racing. Oh, I'm starting to like this one already. When the good old boys would duke it out after a race and let bygones be bygones. When money wasn't the root of all evil and wasn't the only reason certain drivers even race now. When there wasn't petty fines for speaking your mind. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That is what I mean when I'm saying old school. That and its roots. That's exactly what I mean. And Michelle, you did it. That's one of the best answers right there. Someone else said racing from start to finish. Another person said, you went North Wilkesboro and Rockingham back. Bring back the Buicks, the Oldsmobiles. Stop making all the cars look the same. Pretty cool. Somebody says, only problem here is olds are no longer made, but bring back Dodge and make the cars look stock again, not like aerodynamic arrows. These are some really great answers. Back to the tracks that made it famous, meaning Wilkesboro, Rockingham. There's a lot of people that are missing those. Now this is Michelle Quintana's answer, and this is one that's a little controversial, and I actually like this answer. She is afraid that it means that it will bring back intolerant people that are afraid of change, who seem to forget that knowing who the by Halloween is no fun, that three cars on the lead lap is no fun, and who are so stuck in the past that the presence of Bubba Wallace, who is an African American, and Daniel Suarez, who is, I think Daniel Suarez is of Mexican descent. I'm not sure. In fact, she'll yell at me if I'm wrong, so I will find it. If that bothers NASCAR fans, I am hoping and praying that that is not what people mean when they mean bring it back to its roots. We don't need to go there. So another person says, like it was in the 90s, bring back all the tracks that have been lost for trucks and no Xfinity, no sprint guys in Xfinity. They want that. Someone wants Southern Chicken, old time racing, and no chase, just let them race. That's pretty clever. That's pretty clever. I like that. That's pretty clever. When it comes to me, I sort of understand what Michelle is talking about. When people say I want it to go back to its roots, I get worried that people are saying they want it to go back to just the South. And personally, for me, I'm from New England, but my cousin, he was racing in the 70s in New England. He was racing at Thompson and Lee and Starr and Oswego and all of those areas. And I know that there were drivers in the Midwest, and I know that there were drivers in the West Coast. So even though the guys down South got a lot of attention, there was still NASCAR happening, up in the Northeast and all across the country. So sometimes I think the South claims that they own NASCAR, and I really wanted to have that conversation tonight. I really wanted to have that back and forth with Michaela Mills and with Brandon Stevenson and with Tyler too, because I wanted to ask them, especially with Michaela and Brandon being from the South, do they believe that, do people in the South believe NASCAR is theirs? NASCAR is their sport, are they willing to, when they say bring it, get back to their roots, are they willing to say, well, that roots also includes drivers like my cousin, drivers that were in, drivers in the Midwest, drivers in the West Coast. I mean, the Bodines came from, the Northeast. So I wanted to get into that. I really wanted to get into that question. And I really wanted to ask them. And I know how Michaela feels. She feels pretty much the same way I do, but she does know that there are, you know, fans of NASCAR who say, well, it's our sport. It's our sport, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, I normally cover football during football season, and maybe, you know, we're still not sure whether or not Hump Day is going to come back. But, you know, I mean, you look at football, and I don't – football is all over the country. It's all over the country. I mean, we even have – you know, I know the Patriots have gone to the UK many times, you know, 2 or 3 times to play there in London. So, you know, it's considered a nationwide sport. You know, there isn't really one group of people that are saying football is ours. You know what I mean? Same with baseball. Yes, you know, they have their Hall of Fames are all over the place and where they originated. And, of course, down in North Carolina and down in the South, you know, and I understand the whole moonshine thing. I understand all of that. But the racing actually started where? And that was, you know, under NASCAR's name, was in Daytona. And so, yes, that's a heck of a lot more southern than North Carolina. But at the same time, some of these, you know, some of these guys that own these cars, I don't even know what that was, but some of these cars were, you know, the car owners were grabbing drivers from other places. So, you know, other parts of the country. I do know that when Jeff Gordon got into racing, he was from California. And I remember there were a lot of people that, you know, kind of used that California connection against him a little bit. And the same thing with Jimmy Johnson. As more and more drivers came in from other parts of the country. And when you were seeing these guys having interviews, you weren't hearing that southern drawl. And I knew, and I remember it clearly, because I remember people saying, well, there goes NASCAR, it's never going to be the same again. You don't have the word burdens. You don't have, you know, who, you know, we used to call them mumbles because you could not understand what he said, you know. So, you know, you gotta ask yourself, you know, is that what some people mean? You know, let's not bring in the outsiders. I mean, it is now global now. I mean, there are drivers from all over the world that want to be NASCAR drivers. You know what I mean? And they would give anything to be able to do it. They'd give anything to be able to come into the country and drive for NASCAR. It's just a matter of, would the fans embrace it? Would they embrace that at all? And unfortunately, I don't know. I would like to say that they would, but I'm not really sure. And that's kind of sad a little bit. You know, there is sort of that underlying belly of a little bit of racism that's still in NASCAR. I mean, and it's weird because I was having this conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and saying to her, I was saying, you know, there's really only one sport where it has like a true demographic of a stereotypical fan. I mean, sure, you have your baseball fans, which are, you know, I don't even know how would you stereotype a baseball fan. You don't. I mean, I don't even know how to stereotype a baseball fan. A football fan, yeah, maybe the stereotypical football fan is the guy with the beer belly, you know, he's got the face paint and, you know, the foam things on his hand, you know, whatever, and a big, you know, wings and a big turkey leg in his hand, you know. I mean, sure, that would be something that you could consider to be a stereotypical football fan. But when you get down to the demographic of a NASCAR fan, it gets beyond, it gets regional. Well, one, if we're going to talk demographic and we're going to talk stereotype, then they got to be from the South, right? If they're a NASCAR fan, they got to be from the South. If they're a NASCAR fan, then not only that, unfortunately, then they're racist. And I'm not saying that NASCAR fans are racist. I'm saying this is the stereotype that's out there. I'm hoping we can beat that. We need to beat that stereotype. Also, that they run around with their Confederate flags everywhere, that they, you know, they're still trying to win, you know, the Civil War. I mean, all of this craziness. And NASCAR is the only sport that I believe carries on somewhat of a political stereotype. And I believe that with all my heart. And it hurts sometimes because I know that, oh, of course there's going to be, you know, of course there's going to be some people that fall in line with that stereotype. But there's also people that don't fall in line with that stereotype. And NASCAR has been able to broaden their fan base, my gosh, for at least the past 10 years. They've been able to broaden their fan base. And I don't, what I wanted to talk to Michaela about and Brandon about, living down south, how do, you know, how did they feel? How do the fans down south feel about the widespread fans and the possibility that unfortunately, and remember I'm saying unfortunately, there are people out there that will play to that stereotypical, and they'll use bait words in order to get these race fans, you know what I mean, to get angry or to do whatever it is that they need to do, like puppets. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all. It hurts the sport, I believe. I know that there are many, many fans in the Midwest. I know there's many fans in the West Coast. You go to Phoenix, oh my gosh, and if they're all for Kevin Harvick, they're all for the guys that are from California, they're all for the Jimmy Johnsons, and they're for, you know, they call themselves the Bakersfield Boys, the Jeff Gordons. They love these guys that are from the West Coast. They love the fact that these guys represent them a little bit, and that's why I want NASCAR to embrace and the fans to embrace is the inclusion and not the exclusion. I think a lot of the media has to do with, you know, the stereotypical NASCAR fan. It's time that they grew up, the media grew up and saw what that, you know what, I'm friends with a lot of people from the South. I am friends and they do not fit that stereotypical demographic that the media tries to and I don't even know how to say what they do to them. It's use and abuse. I want to say use and abuse, and that is not fair. It's not fair to them, and it's not fair to all of the other fans of NASCAR, of course. So hopefully we can have this discussion again this week. That would be fun. I'd like to get back to it for sure. Also, we are seeing, and we read some others, bring back the old tracks, go back to North Wicksboro. This is like the number one thing. They want to get rid of tracks like Chicago and Kansas. You know, I got to agree. Kansas, I agree on getting rid of Kansas. I don't agree getting rid of Chicago, though. Let me see. Times change. The drivers are hired guns who get their pay regardless. I know they love the sport, but their finish nowadays won't determine what's for dinner this week. Like the old days, I say give the fans the same amount of laps, but in smaller, more important segments. Qualify to get your spot in the heat, feature races to determine the feature lineup, then a shorter feature, force the drivers to race. Gary, I'm not going to say your last name, but that was a brilliant answer. That was a brilliant answer. I liked that answer. Somebody wants just somebody to drive like Senior. Amen, hallelujah. Amen, Michael. Michael, you're a personal friend of mine. I'm going to say that's one of the best answers up there. I absolutely love, love, love that answer. Let me see. In my opinion, it means less corporate hype. Yeah, no kidding. And just race. Stop whining and bitching about everything and just race. Stop pushing all the corporate endorsements and just race. It started out being about the racing, and now it's about how much money can exchange the hands. I'm sorry, but that's not what racing was meant to be. If you want to know what racing used to be, go to a dirt track, and then it's not quite the same as the old days, but it's all we've got to help us remember when racing was about people that took pride in their sport and said, kissing corporate ass. It's that simple. They have effed up the whole concept of what racing should be. Racing, plain and simple. Frank, absolutely fantastic answer. Let me see. Why not more road races instead of ovals? I agree. And in the rain, for the love of God. I love regular TV stations and ticket prices back to before everyone got money hungry. You know, it's all coming down to money. It's all coming back. Somebody's saying go back to the 50s and 60s. No, I don't want to go back there because that brings a lot of things socially that I disagree with. So I think we can go back to the style of racing in the 50s and 60s, but I think we can include, be more inclusive rather than exclusive rather than inclusive. So we want to add more people in, not shut them out. More short tracks. Amen to that. I love this one. Run what you brung. Run what you brung. The most horsepower takes the win. I love that. Win on Sunday, buy on Monday. That is hilarious. That is hilarious. Absolutely love that. Okay. Going back here once again. NASCAR has to help the local tracks by charging them less and not making it hard for them to promote their venue by using video. Agree. I agree with that, Jeffrey. No stopping equipment transformation for safety. I absolutely. We need to keep everything that has worked right now in regards to saving the life of a driver. And that means the walls. That means, you know, all of the equipment they use in the car, all the equipment out of the car, all the equipment around the racetrack, all of those safety measures need to stay in place. So that needs, no need to change there. But I love better running engines. Let them race the way they did when Petty Sr. and all the greats did without the chronic rule changes and every 30 seconds. It sure would help. I agree. They have, and I know there is there's a new rule that may possibly be coming out this week in regards to when Denny Hamlin won at Watkins Glen, and he did a burnout. And I know Jimmy Johnson did a burnout once too, and they weren't able to inspect the car, so they didn't know whether or not they supposedly cheated. You know what? If you're going to start telling, and NASCAR saying, well, you know what? Now we're going to tell people how to celebrate, maybe. There now may be a rule as to how you can celebrate your win. Okay, so NASCAR, let me get this straight. Let me get this straight because I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. You've already taken away their personality because they're just a bunch of robots that are going around talking sponsors. Okay, you've already taken away a lot of access to the drivers. We've heard that from Tyler. A lot of the drivers now, they go out, they get in their car, they practice and they run right back to their mobile home. They only do scheduled appearances, and there's only a certain number of people that they have. I understand it's for time, but they're not as accessible as they used to be. I understand sometimes it's for safety, but you know what? This is a sport that is dying, and this sport needs its fans, and the fans are not showing up, and they're not paying the ticket prices. You got to do whatever you can to get your drivers to hook up with the fans, and I mean that. It has to happen at the racetrack. It has to also happen any way that you possibly can on social media. I know that there are a lot of drivers that do it. I think it's great when they do the Ask Me Anything. I know they do it on Reddit. I know they do it on Instagram. I know they do it on Twitter. I have not seen it on Facebook. I'm sure they do, but I haven't seen it. I know, and this is for all of you racers that want to see the personalities of these drivers. Parker Singerman, oh my gosh, he does Ask Me Anything, and he does it on Reddit. Parker Klingerman will only text, keyboard, whatever, in all caps, all the time. Every answer is in caps. He doesn't want you to think that he is actually shouting at you. It's just, he does all, and he has a hashtag, and it's PK. All in caps. PK, all in caps. That's pretty funny. It's pretty funny what he does. You know, so, I mean, doing stuff like that brings the fans closer. So I believe that needs to, teams need to start looking at that, and teams need to start saying, hey, you know what? This whole 15-minute meet and greet, it's not working for us. Fans aren't able to see. And even with some of the people that are buying their pit passes, they go out, they get their pit passes, and they're not seeing the drivers on pit road because the drivers are in either a driver's meeting. And for those of you who don't know, on Sundays, usually around 10 a.m. is church. They have church. The drivers have church, and they can go to church if they would like, and most do. So they go to church around 10 o'clock. Then they have the driver's meeting, and then, boom, you know, they come out, and they go through all of the the opening ceremonies and all the things that they need to do before they get in the car. So it gives very little time. Now, if you're there on Saturday and you have a garage pass, that's very different. You may get a chance to see your driver, but there's those lines that you can't cross. And if you can get to these guys fast enough, and girl, if you can get to these drivers fast enough, you may possibly be able to get a selfie. You may possibly be able to get that autograph. But you have to be really, really quick. You have to be really, really quick. And the more popular you are, the faster they are to getting to their mobile home. So, and this was a sport where everyone, you know, this was one of the big draws that NASCAR had. And that was that these drivers, they know their fans. They interact with their fans. They, you know, they have a relationship with their fans. And it used to be that way. It used to be that way. And it's really not that way anymore. That's why I love Bowman Gray. Bowman Gray Stadium in North Carolina, these guys know their fans. They know their fans. They interact with their fans. Their fans cannot wait for the new t-shirts to come out. They can't wait for the new hero cards to come out because they know they're going to be able to buy those t-shirts. They know they're going to get those hero cards, and they know they're going to be personally signed right there in front of them. You can get a Burt Myers t-shirt. You can get a Jason Myers t-shirt. You can get a Zach Clifton t-shirt. You can get a Brian Wall t-shirt. I mean, you name it. You know, these drivers will be there to hand it right to them. So, you know, these smaller tracks where these drivers are, you know, like Salvatore, I'm sure, and unfortunately he isn't able to call in. And like I said, we will have him back on. We will have him back on next week. But I'm sure, you know, when I was watching, you know, the guys race in Colorado at the K&M, you know, race, the people who had pit passes, they were able to go up to the drivers at any time. You know, they were able to meet Ryan Partridge. They were able to meet Todd Gilliland. They were able to meet Sal. They were able to meet Jesse Ruggi. You know, I mean, and all of these guys were available to them. All of these drivers were available to them. And I don't know, something happened. The moment they signed that contract to be Cup, it's almost like, well, I'm big time now. I don't forget where you came from. Please do not forget where you came from. The money that we pay, that $40 t-shirt, $40. We can get your t-shirts for $15 on eBay, but we're paying $40 at the track. Okay? That helps pay for you to race every week. Okay? So don't forget us fans. Don't forget us fans. Okay, so let's go back. Oh, a lot of people are saying no chase format. You know, a lot of people are saying that, and I don't know if I agree. I kind of like the chase format. Reason being is when you go into Homestead, you don't know who the winner is going to be. The past 2 years, we did not know who the winner was going to be going into Homestead. You know, I mean, 2 years ago when Kevin Harvick won, the only way he could win the championship was if he won the race. I mean, it was incredible. And he did just that. You know, and I know that coming down to the last laps last year was whether or not Kyle Busch was going to be able to win the championship. You know, so it came down to the last laps of Homestead. I think I like the chase. So I know there's going to be people that are going to be mad at me about that. I'm sorry. Oh, this is great. I love this answer. This is from a friend of mine. He's from Georgia, that's where I'm from. And he put running bootleg whiskey and being shot at. Okay, so he's from New England, and, you know, he's kind of making fun of that stereotypical demographic, but it's kind of funny. and I have a lot more answers. This is really a great question, and it couldn't have happened on a better night when I'm absolutely by myself during the show. So, you know what, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we're going to be right back.
My name is Nick Ficcarelli. I am the mad scientist of sports. Join me and the Nutty Professor, Andrew Grunkorf, live every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mad Scientist Sports Lab. The peak of the list. The experiments are on the chalkboard, and the guest subjects will come rolling in. Mad Scientist Sports Lab, where mad science and sports meet together. Be there.
Woo! Eastlake Sports live Sunday mornings with hosts Craig Goldberger and Andrew Marchetti. It's 2 hours of sports talk from a fan's perspective. Have an opinion? Join our conversation live. Topics will range from golf and MMA to the major sports such as the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball, and get everything in between. We'll cover it all each and every Sunday on the Inscriber Media Network.
You may not always drink beer, but when you do, make your choice. Ruby Diamond IPA. Prepare yourself. DeWalt Brewing Company.
Tired of your coworker talking trash because he just laid the smackdown on your team?
Wondering why you always seem to be 2-4 after 6 games?
Wouldn't it be great if you had someone on your side to make sure you always made the right move?
Tired of getting the same advice from some idiot on the four-letter network that gave himself a nickname?
When you decide you're serious about winning, when you realize that maybe you can't do this alone, tune into Fantasy Jam. The Buffalo and the Fish will turn you into winners.
Right here on this network.
And we are back, and we're back answering this question. What does bringing NASCAR back to its roots mean to you? And I have, we're going back here. Okay, here is, this was a pretty long answer, so that's why I wanted to take a commercial break. This is a really long answer, so stay with me, people. Okay. And at first, I like what he says. Very good question. Thank you. I'd say back when NASCAR was about being an all-American badass stock car racing sport with the common man doing the uncommon thing, cars were not as expensive as they were today. And the sport was about hard-nosed racing and not worrying about the corporations and the money they bring. During these times, for the most part, the unwritten rule was, if you show us you can race with these boys, we'll get you a sponsor. Instead of, if you come with a sponsorship, we'll set you up with a team. Already, I am loving this answer. I'm absolutely 100% in agreement with this answer. Also, the roots were back when racing was about the racing with hard-nosed drivers, giving it their all without all the drama and the political correctness within the races. The media wouldn't give very biased attention towards bottom feeder drivers in the top-level teams simply because they were female. Ooh, okay. This is starting to get a little controversial. There were no BS programs like Drive for Diversity to cave in to whining pansies who don't know much history of the sport. Okay, we're going to have a problem here. But let me finish. This was when NASCAR didn't care about the outsider viewing them as racist redneck idiots. And they worked with their core fan base and fans who knew what the sport was made of and what made NASCAR so great. Okay, I have a question for this person who says this, but I thought NASCAR was great and I was in the Northeast. My dad, my grandfather, my uncles, my cousin. Okay, does that mean we're irrelevant because we weren't from the South? Think about that. Okay, let's go back to what he was saying, because this is rather controversial. They worked with their core fan base instead, who knew what the sport was made of and what made NASCAR so great. This is when NASCAR pitched their core fan base to try and get new fans by taking the champion out of point system. They didn't change their rules every 5 seconds, and most importantly, the drivers and the teams who worked the hardest won their races and championships without paying off the NASCAR Corporation behind the scenes to get certain races and aero packages that changed them. Okay. And the drivers also worked on their own cars. I like that. You know, I have talked to a lot of drivers that some are African American, some are Hispanic descent, and you know, I mean there are drivers all over the place, and I don't really care what their heritage is. I really don't. If they can drive a car, I'm all for it. You know, if they have the talent. Now I want them to have the talent, and I want them to be able to beat, you know, to win their way in. And I'm all for that. I am all for a driver and then they get the sponsor, rather than, you know, well, you could have the sponsor first. No, and I don't think it should matter. I mean, if we're going to go back to the racist redneck idiot thing, and this, these are not my words, these are what somebody said, I don't want it to go back to that. I don't want it to go back. That's going years, decades, decades, and decades backwards. Why in the heck would we do that? And what are you going to tell the drivers that are from the Midwest? What are you going to tell the drivers that are from the West that they're not, hey, if you're not from the South, you know, we don't want you. It'll kill the sport. It will absolutely 100% kill the sport. And why would you want to live up to that stereotype that I talked about earlier? Who in the hell wants to live up to that stereotype? When people ask me, why are you a NASCAR fan? And I say, well, why are you asking me? And they're like, you don't look anything like a NASCAR fan. That means that stereotype is winning. That stereotype of what a typical NASCAR fan is still winning. It's still what people think about when they think of NASCAR. And it shouldn't. It really shouldn't. You know, I mean, they should just think of, why not? Why am I not? I love sports. I love race cars. Why wouldn't I be a NASCAR fan? Just because I'm from the Northeast? Just because I'm a girl? Because I'm not a racist? That's ridiculous. All right. someone said running hooch. That was my cousin who said that. It means grumpy old guys who hate change. And, you know, I've got to say something. All the people that are writing this stuff, that are saying stuff like this, are people that I know from the Northeast. Short tracks, I agree with that. Go back to beach racing. How fun would that be to at least have one race on the beach? That would be, I mean, we already have Eldora. We raced in the rain this past weekend. That would be a total riot. I would absolutely love that. Spring and fall races, Rockingham, no chase. Ugh, nope, I like the chase. NASCAR has never been better. Best race in the world, go Harvick. Okay. And I know who's and please do away with the overtime lines being at different sports at each track. I understand that. I get that. Very much so. I get it. But I still want to go back to, I understand what people are saying. I get it. And I do say it every week. I say, Tyler, it's from the Mecca, meaning home base, to NASCAR. I get that all of these drivers, the moonshining, what happened, you know, down there, and also up in the Northeast, and also in the Midwest, and also in the West. But, of course, you guys are the ones down south that made, you know, made a reach about it. You guys all got together, went over to Daytona, you know, Bill France, did what he had to do. And back then, there were women driving some of those cars. Go back. Go on YouTube. Look up the history of NASCAR. You see how many women were driving in some of those cars. It's pretty crazy. You know, I don't think, you know, I don't want to say anything to offend anybody, and I know that sounds horrible, but at the same time, I don't want this person who said we need to go back to this. No, I agree. Let's go back to that type of racing. Let's go back to, you know, the short track racing. Let's go back to giving them personalities. Let's go back to not penalizing them for giving an opinion. Why in the hell is NASCAR telling drivers what their opinion has to be? You have to be 100% on board with what we say, or we're going to penalize you. So wrong on so many levels. So wrong on so many levels. So they've taken away, okay, their opinion. They've taken away your access to them. Now they're going to take away their joy and the way in which they're going to celebrate a win. Make sure you don't burn out that engine. You need to check it. That's ridiculous. I don't like it. And everyone's like, well, no, I don't care what you have to say. I don't care. You're taking away. It's like, I don't know. It's become cookie cutter. You know, I saw this crazy-ass video today, and I'm gonna find this video, and I'm gonna put it on my Facebook. It was of a human robot She can make facial expressions. It was the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my life. I was like, whoa. I'm thinking, the first thing I thought of was, well, there's your new, you know, there's your new NASCAR drivers. Either that, or, you know, if you've ever seen that show, BattleBots, you know, they make these robots and they battle each other in the ring, and, you know, everything's remote control. Is that where things are going? I mean, hey, less money from the sponsors. But I love my sport. I love my sport. I don't like seeing the empty stands, especially at Indy, especially at Bristol, especially at Daytona. It's unacceptable. Something has to be done. Somebody has to do something. Somebody has to talk to Mike Helton and ask him, what have you done? Have you sold your soul? Did you ruin our sport? Nobody's going. Nobody is going. The NHRA, look at the NHRA. They're doing it right. They're fine-tuned. The way they do things and the way they make, you know, the fans accessible to their drivers is incredible. NASCAR, I absolutely love you. Change the way in which you do your sport. Ask the fans. You have a fan council. Do you even listen? Do you even listen? And you're getting younger and younger and younger with these kids. I mean, they're starting to look like they're 12. Now, I mean, what's the retirement age of a race car driver now? Realistically, when you look at, I mean, I look at someone like, you know, let's see, Elliott Sadler. I don't know. He's only got a few years left. You look at somebody in their 30s and you think, oh, no, you're going to find somebody in their 30s who have a truck. What would you do that when there's probably some, you know, 18-year-old kid, you know, who's a wheelman, who's doing a great job. You know, what's the retirement age now? Is it 30? Is it 25? That's something you, the fans, have got to decide. What do you want? I'll tell you one thing. I want it back to the way it was before. I want their personalities back. I want them to be able to say their opinion. I want them to be able to rub and race. I want them to be able to bump and run. That's what I want. That's what I want from NASCAR. But I don't want to go back to where we start hating on each other. And we start saying, well, the only reason why she has a ride is because she's a girl. And the only reason why he has a ride is because he's black or because he's Hispanic. That's ridiculous and it's wrong. I want to apologize to everybody, especially Salvatore Iovino. I would love to have talked to you tonight. I had so many questions for you. We will definitely reschedule you. I am sorry that we weren't able to get Michaela Mills on tonight or Brandon Stevenson. We will reschedule the show and everything will be fine. Apparently there are a few little glitches, but WBLZ did get in touch with me during the show and said everything is fine and we will be back up and running soon. I want to thank all of you for listening to me rabble on. It's pretty hard doing a show for a full hour with just yourself. But I hope I did the show well. You know what? I'm looking for a kick-ass race at Bristol. I hope it happens. Check a flag, everybody. We're out.